Hi, I'm Richard, the founder of 10 Adventures, and this is the 10 Adventures podcast. Each week, we talk to real people about real adventures as they explore this incredible planet we all live on.
Today on the 10 Adventures podcast, I'm talking with Maddie Plank and Charlie Bagan, two Princeton students that recently cycled across the USA to raise money for mental health. While most people who take a gap year think about partying their time away in Southeast Asia, Charlie and Maddie want to make the world a better place by challenging themselves with a difficult trip that would push their limits. Hi, Charlie and Maddie. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Richard.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's great. I'm so excited to hear about your trip. But how did this come together? You know, you guys were in the middle of a pandemic and you guys decided to do this epic journey. How did that happen?
So I guess, you know, we'd have loved to have partied in Southeast Asia for sure, but with the pandemic, it was kind of hard to go abroad. So Maddie and I last August were talking on a Zoom and we know each other through the Princeton basketball program. So we were chatting about how we wanted to spend our year off. And I had been kind of told by a mentor that if my mentor was taking a year off, he would go on a bike trip across the country. And I thought that's a great idea. So I floated it by Maddie. And Maddie said, wow, I was thinking the same thing. So we kind of independently had come to this idea, this crazy idea of biking across the country. And then from there, we kind of went with it.
And then Maddie, were you a hardcore cyclist before this? Or is this just something that you thought, I just want to cycle across. I'm going to give it a go.
I was kind of one to enjoy biking, but not a hardcore cyclist by any means. I've had a few knee surgeries, so I've done a lot of biking as like recovery from that. But I think the longest ride that I had gone on prior to training for this trip was like 20 miles or something. So to have made it 3,500 miles after that is nothing that I could have ever imagined.
So you guys are obviously in good shape being college athletes, but you know, were you guys training to embark on this massive journey beforehand, or did you just like just get on your bike and just start and kind of train on the bike?
Well, we thought that we were training. Like, we got our bikes, we started like going out on rides on like trails that were by where we were living, but we didn't realize that adding 50 pounds of weight to our bikes or actually having to climb mountains would be hard. We were just like, oh, we'll be fine. So our 30-mile sunny day rides that we thought were training were definitely not that. So the first 2 weeks of the trip were kind of how we got in shape for the rest of the journey.
How much gear did you have on your bike? Like, were you guys kind of camping while you're doing this or staying in hotels?
Well, we had the gear to camp and we only ended up camping probably 8 out of the 68 nights. So we were prepared to camp and we were each carrying a tent and sleeping bag, but we eventually ended up staying in hotels and with friends, and I'm sure we'll talk about where we stayed and stuff. But so we did try and weigh our bikes at one point during the ride. I'm still not sure if these numbers are correct, but from what we got, my bike and my gear were 75 pounds and Maddie's was 85. Now, that sounds like a big disparity, so I don't know if those weights are correct though.
Oh man, that's a lot of weight to take up over the Rockies. So there's lots of different routes people take across the States. What route did you choose and why did you choose that one?
I set this whole route on Ride with GPS. I went on Google Maps and was like looking at each road we were going to ride on and checking to make sure I liked it. Cause like Maddie said, we had never really biked before. So I was very nervous about getting out on roads that were kind of dangerous and I was worried about cars. So we had this whole like 3,900 mile route, very precise. And we did that for the first week. And then we kind of just tossed it in the garbage when we realized that it was too like twisty and turny and took us up some mountains. We didn't realize that elevation was going to be an issue. And so really we ended up just kind of going day by day saying, where do we want to end this day? You know, where can we find a place to stay? Where do we want to ride? And we had some major kind of checkpoints that we wanted to get to, including Chicago and the Black Hills and Yellowstone. And that helped to guide us on a kind of more macro scale for our route.
And so you finished up in Washington State, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
At any point, were you thinking, oh, maybe we'll try and ride kind of like diagonally across the country from the Northeast to California? Or is it like, no, this is more direct, we want to go this way?
There was a point in the trip where I think we both were really scared of like elevation gain because we had gone through like the Appalachian Mountains in Pennsylvania and we were just like dead because it was the first week. It was super hard. So we were like, all right, let's avoid mountains at all costs. So we were like, all right, let's just go south. Let's just completely avoid the Rockies however we can. Maybe go back to Florida. Let's see what happens. But we ended up just, I don't know, we wanted to make it to Yellowstone. And we had heard like amazing things about the beauty of Washington. And I think we eventually realized that we could make it over any mountain that was in our path. So we just decided to head straight across and we did it. So
yeah, and I will say like there were definitely probably two or three nights in the first two or three weeks where we were sitting there looking at a map, like debating like where should we go? Should we go to San Diego? Should we go to California, Oregon? Like the whole West Coast was on the table because we were so concerned about crossing the Rockies. And we had people back home, like our parents were Googling and looking for better routes for us. So we were definitely like very concerned about our route in the beginning. But then like Maddie said, we started biking more and more miles and more hills and we realized, you know what, we can take on anything.
So did you start following kind of like other more established routes or was it still every night you were looking on Google Maps to see, you know, almost finding your own route?
We set our own route for the most part. I think when we started off the trip, we went on the CNO Canal and the Gap Trail, which are pretty popular East Coast trails that I think start the Adventure Cycling Association like route or one of them to get across the country. So I guess we started on that. But once we were kind of done there, we just checked every day what roads we thought were the safest or had the least elevation. And yeah, looked 60 miles ahead of where we were and checked if we could get there.
One of the nice things about staying with some people who were cyclists along the way is they would tell us like, oh, you're going to want to take this road getting out of town or look out for this trail. So we definitely crowdsourced some of our riding options along the way.
How did you meet these people? Is it just kindness of strangers or just, you know, through your network?
It was a little bit of everything. Definitely friends and family and friends of friends and friends of friends of friends. But we also used Warm Showers, which you may have heard of it. It's an app for cyclists on tour who open up their houses to other cyclists and then hopefully the favor is returned in the future. And we ended up using Warm Showers probably 20 nights, maybe more. That was a really awesome thing that we kind of stumbled into. We didn't realize how useful and how integral it would be for our trip, not only having places to stay, but also just meeting a lot of amazing people.
That sounds epic. It sounds a bit like I know couch surfing was a really big thing and talked with one woman who used it in like Pakistan and was using it to like stay with local families and have a totally different experience compared to just kind of like staying in a hotel or a guest house, just like a totally unique way to learn about the culture. Did you guys find that as well? Like you're learning about different parts of America from Appalachia, the Midwest, and like you're actually like getting an insight into how culture is different across the states.
Definitely. It was mind-boggling how different every state was from the one before it. And I think Charlie and I have experienced like solely the East Coast, right? Like we go to Princeton, which is in New Jersey, and he's from New Jersey and I'm from New York. So it was really cool to bike through middle of nowhere, Nebraska, and see how they're living and how ranching is different from whatever, the student life or commuting into New York City or something like that.
You're riding across the U.S. Obviously, people know about, you know, the big cornfields, the Rocky Mountains. But, you know, what do people not know about, like, the subtle differences in how, you know, how the geography changes? You know, everyone just kind of thinks there's this big flyover area with, you know, the Appalachians and smaller mountains on one side and Rockies and then the coast. But like what did you guys find, you know, kind of on a much more minute level?
I'll go for one obvious one is that it's not super flat in the middle in many areas. Every time, like every state we got to, they were like, oh, it'll be flatter in the next state. Don't worry. But then Ohio, we had some of our like biggest elevation gain days. Even Iowa was like super hilly, a lot of hills. And now we weren't riding on interstates in those states. So I bet the interstate is a little flatter. but like these country roads that we were riding through were very hilly. And then, you know, Nebraska was flat, but then as soon as you get to the Black Hills in San Diego and Wyoming, or sorry, not San Diego, South Dakota and Wyoming, it's hilly again. So I don't think we had as many flat days as we were expecting.
Is there a part kind of in that kind of undiscovered area where, you know, people don't go that is like just really beautiful or memorable, or it's like, hey, how come no one knows about, you know, this part of, you know, the Midwest?
There was honestly nothing that like blew us away. I think we were kind of always looking forward to like, oh, like Montana is going to be beautiful. And it was, but that was like way later in the trip. And I think we were really happy to like get through the Midwest. It was kind of boring. By the end, we were pretty much sick of seeing these like farms and just the cornfields, they hadn't even grown yet. So it was just like brown and gross and we were over it. So yeah, I would not necessarily bike through it again if I had the choice.
The one redeeming factor that Maddie actually brought up a lot is that in the East and the Midwest, there are like a lot of towns. So as you're riding on these like state and county highways, you pass through towns, which are really cool. We could stop for lunch, meet people, whatever. And then when you get out west, it's like 40 miles between towns. And then even then, the towns are like 20 people. So that was a huge difference when we got out west. So though the scenery wasn't great in the Midwest, we did meet a lot of great people and actually get to like get a feel for kind of what communities were like along the way.
As you got to the Rockies, you know, you've been doing all the hills. You did the Appalachians, which from what I've been told, you know, they aren't big climbs, but they're really punchy. You know, they're really steep. Whereas, you know, when you get into the Rockies, you know, they were built later, so they kind of graded them better. But, you know, were the Rockies, you know, were you guys in shape? Were the Rockies easy for you to get through, or was it still a grind?
I think that we were very prepared for the Rockies. I think that, like, the up and down of back east was really exhausting for us. But once we made it out west, it was like you go over one mountain a day. And it's 2 miles of 6% grade climbing, and we go really, really slow, or I go really, really slow, but you get to the top and you get to have this awesome downhill, and then like you're pretty much like flat-ish for the rest of the day. And I much preferred that to like the consistent hills that we experienced prior.
Was there a part, you know, kind of going from the Rockies to the coast, was there a part that, you know, for you guys, you're like, holy crow, I didn't realize this was going to be, or it was like really spectacular?
Oh, yeah. One that stands out among many were like the coulees in Washington, which are kind of like these valleys that have been carved through the rocks, I think by either like by glacial runoff, if I remember correctly. And they were stunning. We didn't realize they were in Washington. We would come like flying down these huge downhills, and then the land kind of opens up and you're just in the middle of this valley. It almost felt like the Grand Canyon. I've never been to the Grand Canyon, but it was like a miniature version of that. So those are really beautiful. And then out west, like when you get to kind of like the Olympic National Park area, we never got into the park, but even just the road and the trail we rode around it was really beautiful and kind of felt like a rainforest almost.
Did you guys have to deal with a lot of weather? Because you guys went here in late spring. So was that a time where you were still dealing with like any snow in the Rockies or like spring rains, or was, you know, was it kind of like a good time to attempt to do this?
We were really lucky with our weather overall. In the beginning, it was pretty cold. We would start days at 35 degrees, 40 degrees. So that wasn't super fun. And sometimes when we had to camp, it got really cold and we just wanted to stay in our sleeping bags forever. But by the time we made it out west, it was late May, June. So it was pretty like, I don't know, normal temperatures. And we even had like a really hot few days in South Dakota, like I couldn't even like wear a like t-shirt half of the time. We were just like drenched in sweat, especially with the hills that we were climbing there.
Yeah. In the beginning, like Maddie said, it was freezing and I hate the cold. And I was saying, oh, we should have done this in the summer. Like it would have been so much better if it was warmer. But then kind of by the time, like as we looked at the overall trend of the trip, by the time we got to the end, it was starting to get hot, but it wasn't like these 100 degree days that we're seeing in the West now. So we're very fortunate that we actually didn't start like 2 weeks later, because I think the 100 degree heat would have just been absolutely brutal as well. And then we also, you asked about weather, like we really didn't hit too much rain or snow. Like, we had one day of flurries of snow, which wasn't terrible. And we had a couple days of rain, which we were usually able to just like ride through or sit out for an hour. And one day where it was pouring so bad, it felt like we were being stung, like little rocks were being thrown at us. And we were a quarter mile from the house we were staying at, and the lightning was coming down like within a half mile. We could just like see it hitting the ground in front of us. And it was the loudest cracks of thunder we've ever heard. And we decided to just ditch the bikes because we were worried that we didn't want to be on this, you know, metal bike with the lightning so close. So we ditched them in a ditch on the side of the road and just like ran to the house. But that was pretty much the worst storm that we had to get through.
Obviously, you took a bit of a rest that day, but how, what was your rest day schedule? Were you like on a pretty fixed schedule that, you know, one day a week you took it off, or was it just listening to your bodies, or did you even take rest? Were you just on the bike every day?
I guess we generally rested one day a week, but it definitely depended on who we had to stay with, because it doesn't, I don't know, I don't think we wanted to necessarily rest if we had to camp. It would be cool to have like a nice couch and like a lot of food. So there were so many lovely people who we stayed with who were always like, you guys need to rest. You're really putting in a lot of work. So we could have rested a lot more if we wanted to, but generally it was once a week or so.
And were you taking rest days on this Warm Showers app, like with people you didn't know, or was this with friends and family?
Yeah, a little bit of both. We took a day in Pittsburgh with my family. We took 2 days in Chicago with Maddie's family. But then we also took 2 days with a family, or sorry, one rest day with a family in Nebraska. We met on Warm Showers. And then you mentioned couch surfing earlier. Like, Maddie found someone on couch surfing who wasn't in the area in South Dakota, but they had a friend who was. So they set us up with their friend. And then that friend set us up with their friends later on in Wyoming. And we ended up taking a rest day. So we took a rest day at this stranger's house who was a friend of a friend of a friend. And like Maddie said, like, people were just really willing to let us stay and feed us. And it was awesome.
Oh, that sounds wicked. When you guys started this trip together, like, how well did you know each other? Was this kind of like, you know, the pains of going on a trip with somebody you know really well? Like, you hear like friendships dissolve 1 week in. You know, were you guys good friends before? Was this kind of like, you know, building your friendship at the same time?
Yeah, we weren't really friends at all, honestly.
We were not friends very much. I think that Zoom call that we had like back in August, that was like the first time we had a conversation that was longer than like, hey, like, that was about it. So then I guess our friendship pretty much like evolved with planning the bike trip. And then like once we started, you're spending 24 hours with one person. So I guess there was like only up from where we started from. But yeah, it was really good. I was like super scared. I'd be like, what if I don't like this guy? Like, I don't even know him. We're going on this bike trip together, but it worked out really well. And I think people were always commenting on like, oh my God, you guys are like getting closer in your pictures. And it's like, yeah, like, I didn't know him at the start of the trip. Like, why would I hug him in a picture?
Like, the first day when we met up at the beach, we like barely spoke to each other. We're just like, hey, what's up? And then our pictures the first day at the beach, like, we're like standing like 3 feet apart, you know, kind of awkwardly just standing there. And then we actually, I would say, luckily, we are actually like legitimate friends now. But like, even if we weren't in the beginning of the trip, as you're kind of getting to know someone, you're going to be kind of nice with them and, you know, asking them, how you doing? Like, is this okay? And so like the beginning of the trip, like you said, like, it could be a friendship breaker. Like, we didn't have a friendship to break. We were still like very nice with each other. And so there were no arguments popping up, as it were.
That's incredible that, you know, you launch a cross-country bike trip not really knowing each other. And it works out, well, it seems to be really, really well. Maddie, you were a bit concerned. Charlie, like, were you a bit concerned? Like, what's going to happen here? Like, is this going to work? Or are we going to like just part ways after a week? Or were you like pretty comfortable that it was going to work out?
No, I really didn't have any doubts. I don't know. A lot of people were like, oh, what if you don't get along? Like, I was like, I don't know. I'm sure we'll make it work.
I guess one benefit of a bike trip is it's not like hiking where you're like with the person and you're talking all the time. It's like, you know, some people like they want to go on bike rides. It's like, well, if you go on a bike ride, it's kind of hard to chat because you're in the wind and one person's in front. So I guess you probably had a lot of time actually on your own where you appreciated getting off the bike and having someone there who had shared the experience with you.
Definitely. Yeah. We spent a lot of time like in our own thoughts and just, I was singing songs and he was imagining basketball scenarios and stuff like that. And whenever we were lucky enough to get on a bike trail, we'd ride side by side and talk then. But a lot of the time he was 2 miles in front of me riding. So we didn't chat too much then.
Yeah, but it was nice. Like, you know, some days we'd be on a trail the whole day so we could talk basically the whole time. And then other days when we're on the highway, we were single file. So like we like wouldn't see each other until we took a break every hour, you know, it was interesting. And like Maddie said, like she relied on music very heavily to get her through the days. So she was always like playing music out of her phone or had an AirPod in. And I kind of just like relied on my imagination and kind of got lost daydreaming. And then we would come back together and talk about our shared experience, but also individual experience.
So I'm interested, you know, sometimes perception, you know, people go on the same trip, but they have a totally different experience. You know, maybe one person found it easy, that person found it hard, or they just see things differently. Like you guys have probably talked a lot. Did you find that times like you felt like you're having different trips or you were focusing on different things, or was it a very kind of shared experience?
I feel like probably 90% of the time we were noticing the same things. There were a few things. One that's memorable is like this cool horse statue that like multiple people mentioned to us in around Helena, Montana. I just completely missed. I don't know. I was lost in my thoughts, I guess. But Maddie noticed it and she was like, "Oh, did you see that cool horse?" And I was like, "No, I have no idea what you're talking about." But for the most part, I feel like it was, you know, pretty much we had the exact same experience. And when we'd stop, we'd say, "Hey, did you see that?" And we'd be like, "Yeah, I noticed that."
Yeah, I think we definitely saw the same things, but like physically, like my legs were dead a lot of the time. When we climbed hills, I would be really worn out and I got really sore at the beginning of the trip. And Charlie was like, "My legs are never sore. I'm completely fine." And I was like, "This is offensive. I don't know what to do here." Physically, we had a slightly different experience, but seeing things and experiencing the country, I think we had a very similar like time there.
We've pretty much concluded that the difference in speed and leg strength was probably due to her carrying more weight. Again, I'm not sure of the numbers, but I do think that she was probably carrying much more weight, and every pound really does matter, especially when you're going up these hills. So Maddie, that's probably what was going on.
There's also a tip. If there is somebody who's a lot faster than the rest, it's usually good to put a couple large boulders in their panniers. My legs are killing me today. So yeah, I put 20 pounds worth of rocks in there.
I had him carry a gallon of water because we were scared we were going to run out of water. And I caught up that day. We were like side by side then.
I was so frustrated that day. I was like, "We have to drink this water right now. I'm not carrying it anymore." Because I wasn't used to being slowed down by the weight.
I don't, the exact same thing about hiking. I have like a ton of water because there's no water. I drink it like a madman for the first like 3 hours. And then when I need it, I'm like, "Well, damn it, I drank all my water because I didn't want to carry it." So, you know, you guys are coming to the end of this ride. You've had this epic journey. You know, you've been figuring out like your route each day. So it's been like really, you know, freeing for you. What were your feelings as you're getting close to the end?
I was really excited to end. I think I had saddle sores for the entire trip. And I think my butt was just tapping out. But I think I was sad because I knew that I'd have to return back home and eventually start studying for school again and kind of get back into like the old habits. And the last 2.5 months that we had spent on the bike was just life-changing and eye-opening. So I was excited to physically heal, but I think that like that experience is something I'm eager to do again.
Yeah, I was really excited to get to the end. We definitely like I think the last 2 weeks, we really were just like, "Oh, I can't wait to finish." Not because we wanted to stop riding, but because it just like this accumulation of having spent so much time and so many miles out on the road and being able to just like taste that victory so close. Like we really wanted to get there and feel, you know, what it was like to actually hit the Pacific Ocean. But then I certainly wasn't excited to come back. And like Maddie said, like now, you know, work and study again, like that wasn't what I was excited for. But it was just like completing this journey was something that we were really looking forward to as we came down the last like, you know, 400 miles.
Maddie, you said the trip changed you. How do you think, you know, obviously it's still really recent, so, you know, you probably don't know the folks there, but how do you feel like it changed you?
I think it just kind of made me feel that, or I guess this is kind of a story a little bit, but when we were in Chadron, Nebraska, one of the guys we were staying with was like, people are good. Like, they're going to help you. And he was a very experienced bike tourer and had just seen how strangers are really going to like do their best to make sure you're comfortable and safe. And I think going into the trip as a woman and also just like doing this with only two people as college students, I was a little scared and my family was scared that like random strangers would try to hinder us or hurt us or something bad could happen. And I don't think we had a single bad experience with anyone. And I just learned that like people are good and like trustworthy and you can have an awesome experience not knowing anyone. So I think that's really how like I've changed like through the course of that, of the trip.
And Charlie, you know, obviously you probably feel the same, but is, you know, how has this changed you? Like you're going back to school. Is life going to be different next year for you, do you think, because of this trip?
That's an interesting question that I've been thinking about. And, you know, I feel like on a day-to-day, probably not. But I think the trip was kind of eye-opening in that, and I don't know if I'm going to phrase this right, but I feel kind of more sympathetic to each individual person's life path. You know, like, I feel like growing up in the Northeast with family and finance and business and going to an Ivy League school, you know, I'm so focused on success, which is often defined by, you know, financial earnings. But like seeing how happy people are across the country, you know, ranching, working as teachers. We met some people who are some like awesome teachers who are really dedicated to their school system in Wyoming. That was really cool to see. And I think just meeting people from all walks of life has made me kind of reevaluate what I find to be a quote unquote meaningful life. And Maddie and I talked a lot about like what's fulfilling, what's meaningful, what makes a good person. And I think this trip overall has helped me to kind of narrow down my definition and, or actually not narrow it down, but expand it really to see the many different ways that someone can have a meaningful life.
That is, those sound like the best conversations. And I think that's, you know, what you describe is what travel does. You realize that what you know and the path you're on may not, you know, may not be the right path for you. You just don't know what the other paths are. It leads to my next question. You know, you were doing this to raise money for mental health. And, you know, we've gone through a pandemic. I'm a big advocate that being outdoors and exercising, you know, going hiking, backpacking, bike touring has so many positive benefits to mental health. Did you notice this as you're riding? Did you notice that, you know, it was helping you with, you know, dealing with stress, or, you know, riding a pandemic is obviously just stressful in itself. But how did you find that aspect of being outdoors and exercising?
I would say, I think being outdoors is great for your mental health, period. The stress that I did feel on the trip, maybe we did feel on the trip, was what I would consider probably good stress. It was like trying to figure out our route, dealing with the trucks whizzing by at 80 miles an hour. That got my heart rate up a couple times, but really it was good stress, I think, because we kind of had a purpose. And I think specific to bike touring, the purpose it gives you, where it's like, all right, you're just getting up and you're biking, and that's all you have to do is just bike, was really good for my mental health, because it kind of took away all of the complexities of everyday life at school or at home, where you got to figure out what to do hour by hour and you have responsibilities. But the bike tour, you're just enjoying life on a bike. And I think that was really great for my mental health overall.
And then Maddie, you were biking to support, to raise awareness about mental health. You know, what do you want kind of an average person who doesn't really know anything about this to kind of know more about?
Sure. Yeah. I think our biggest thing that we were trying to push is like not struggling in silence and making sure that you're willing to seek help if you need it. I touched on this in the blog, and kind of the reason why I think like raising money for mental health was really important to us is I struggled with an eating disorder for a while. And for a lot of time, I was just like, all right, I'm just not going to eat. I was doing it by myself. And then as soon as I started reaching out to people and talking to a psychologist and a nutritionist and my friends and family about what I was experiencing, it really opened my eyes and helped me like recover, I guess. And now like I feel great. And of course, like it still lingers from time to time, but then I'm willing to talk to someone about it. And I really just push for anyone to like seek help, because it's so hard to do it by yourself. So that's, yeah, definitely the main message.
And that is a really incredible message. Again, living through this pandemic, we all know people who are struggling, and to share that message that help is available is really powerful. To end this, I'm really interested, you guys came into this not being huge bike tours. You've done kind of one of the world's classics. Have you started looking at like a future bike tour, and like, is your mind already working that, okay, maybe after we graduate, go somewhere, and where is it?
I'm not sure we've like necessarily discussed it like together, if we were to do it together, I guess, but I definitely want to do Ragbri. We heard all about it, which is like the ride across Iowa. And it's like this big party and everyone's biking and stuff like that, which seems super fun. And then I also think biking through Europe would be amazing. We heard so many people who we stayed with on warm showers who just said that the biking infrastructure in Europe is way safer. And I think that it would be a really great way to see it. And I think Charlie is into it as well.
Yeah, I would like to do another bike tour. It was a great experience. I kind of like the achievement of biking a coast to coast. I think Maddie more enjoys just like biking just to bike. And I maybe enjoyed like the actual achievement or milestone. So doing something like, we heard people who bike from the top of Alaska down to the bottom of South America. That's something that sounds really cool to me. It's like another step up. Biking around Europe would be awesome too, for all the same reasons Maddie said. So I don't think that was the last bike tour I'll go on, but we'll see if we do it together. Maybe we'll get a tandem bike. We floated that option as well. That would be cool.
Oh, this has been so great to hear about your stories and to see everything you've accomplished. If you want to read more, I'm going to put a link to their website in the show notes, where they have some great blog posts. They also have an Instagram account, and it's NAMI Coast to Coast. I'll put that in the show notes as well. Maddie and Charlie, thanks for sharing your epic trip. I'm so happy to have heard about this and heard these stories. And good luck going back to school and the life of normality and no more freedom.
Thanks so much for having us on, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the 10 Adventures podcast. If you liked it, why not give us a review? Better yet, subscribe and get inspired again and again. Also, if you want to find your own adventures, why not check out 10adventures.com, where you can use our free resources to plan your own trip or book a tour in over 60 countries and make your own epic memories on your next adventure.